We're having a couple technical difficulties, but those are technical and they have nothing to do with what we're going to be doing today. Well, today I'm somewhat sad that we're finishing up Revelation today, because I just enjoy studying this book. Every time I go through it, it's just more and more profound, the things that God is doing around us. And of course, we sense and realize that the days are drawing near to the time when Jesus is going to return. There's no doubt about it. He proclaimed it. He prophesied it. And when He says it, it will come to pass. So I wish we were still in Revelation next week, but we won't be. We will be moving on. But today we're going to finish up. We're going to look at the last two verses in chapter 22, the last two verses in all of God's Word. Is that, just saying that makes you realize and understand how important what God has to say is. So if you'd stand in honor of God's Word, we're going to begin reading verse 20 of Revelation 22. It won't take us long to do that. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus will be with God's people. Amen." Father, I come to You this morning, and I just praise You that even back in the beginning of this study, the proclamation was made that if we read these words aloud, we will be blessed. And Father, we have read these words aloud. We continue to believe Your Word. We believe that Your Word is true, that it is right, that it will bring forth exactly what You choose for it to bring forth, according to Your own Word. And Lord, I just pray that even today, as we go through this last section, this last passage, and take a little look back, it'll all just gel together in such a way that it will be a foundation for us to stand upon and to move forward in these days. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Jesus makes an emphatic statement to end this book. Surely, I am coming quickly. Surely, I'm coming soon. Amen. Now, just a little brief note before we continue to read this. When I grew up in church, I'd hear people say amen all the time, and we weren't even praying. Because when I was little, I learned amen meant I was done praying. I didn't know exactly what amen meant, other than I was done. But the word amen literally has some significance to it. We're going to be looking at that in just a moment. Jesus makes an emphatic statement. He says, "Surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That should be our heart's prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And there it is again. Amen. To the very end, the book of Revelation emphasizes readiness and watchfulness. And if we miss this practical lesson from this book, the lesson of readiness, then we miss the essential message of the whole book. If the statement, "I am coming quickly," were not enough, Jesus puts the emphasis on both sides, surely before and amen after. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. With this phrase, John uses an Aramaic expression that is well known in the ancient church, Maranatha. Now, I remember back in the 70s, we used to sing a couple of songs in youth group, and one of them had the word Maranatha in it. And I didn't really even know what it meant. I just sang it. But literally means that we want Him to come now. We want Him to put the amen on the end. He is the great amen. He is the statement. He is the exclamation point to God's word. So today we're going to, first of all, just take a brief look back at what we've covered, just to kind of give you an idea of all the things that we've gone through. And if you've missed some of these, they're all online. You can go back through and listen to them on the webpage. You can go to Facebook and actually watch each one of them. You can on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, you can watch each one of them if you missed any of them. But I just want to put it in a little capsule for us to see all the things that we've talked about in the past almost a year as we've been looking through the book of Revelation. In the first three chapters, the author himself was revealed. Who's the author of Revelation? Who's the author? Jesus. John wrote it down. In fact, the scripture says, John says, I'm writing down everything that was told to me. Okay? But we know the author of all of God's word is Jesus himself, God. He is the word. John the disciple was from the Isle of Patmos. And so as he wrote these things down, he was being held prisoner on the Isle of Patmos because of his faith. But it literally comes from the direct voice of Jesus himself. So when we go through these words, and no wonder we're blessed when we read these words aloud, because we're literally reading the words of Jesus. And then we see seven letters from Jesus to seven different churches. Now, there's been a lot of controversy on, were these the literal churches? Were these church ages? Were these general letters to people who meet together in churches? Which one of those are they? Yes, they are. I believe they are letters directly to those churches. I believe they are also letters that cover the ages that the church has been going through. And they are literally letters that teach each one of us things that we need to know. Seven letters of affirmation, of correction, and even some rebuke. Now, you might think, well, does the church ever need to be rebuked? Yes. Do we ever need to be corrected? Yes. Do we ever need to be affirmed? Yes. And so Jesus says, write these things down, and John did. And these letters specifically had points for each church to affirm them in the things that they were doing correct, to correct them in the places that they might have gone off track, which they had, and even some rebukes to some churches who knew what they ought to do but didn't do it. Now, that's what a rebuke is, right? The things that we ought to do and we don't do, what does James says that is? That is, to us, that is sin. And we need to be rebuked of those things. And then we saw, beginning in chapter 4, the rapture of the church. We will meet him in the air. And there will be total chaos on this earth when this happens. I mean, you can just imagine. Now, I don't know exactly how many true Christians there are in the United States and in the world. Don't know. Only God knows that. But let's just say there are millions. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those people disappear. Do you think that's going to have any impact on the world today? Yeah, I think so. I mean, you just can't imagine the chaos, the unbelievability factor that people are going to they won't have an answer. There's going to be total chaos, and then begins the 7 years of the great tribulation. With the trumpet judgments as they begin. The 7 years of the great tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist in the midst of that. Now, when we looked at them chapter by chapter, we would see a particular a judgment or three or four particular judgments. And then later on, we would see the rise of the Antichrist. Those are all happening at the same time in the 7 years called the Great Tribulation. The propaganda of the false prophets going to come along, the worship of the Antichrist in the midst of all of this, and then people will be given the option of taking the mark of the beast. But to take it, they'll have to admit out loud, confess with their mouth, not that Jesus is Lord, but that the Antichrist is Lord. Can you imagine that? To get the mark. Now, why did they want the mark? The only way that they can buy and sell, the only way that they can have a bank account, the only way they can do anything is to have the mark of the beast. So to not take that is basically saying, I'm willing to die, and many of them will. The opening of the scrolls of judgment. After the trumpet judgments are over, the scrolls are opened up. And then the pouring out of the bowls upon this earth. And each one of them carry with them catastrophic things that are going to be taking place in this world. I mean, one of the things that I recall as we went through this, the hailstones that are going to be larger than trucks falling from the sky, weighing thousands and thousands of pounds. You think that's going to cause any issues? How many of you have ever been hit on the head by a piece of hail? It hurts, doesn't it? No, I know what's wrong with you then, Eddie. One that big, huh? Hit you right in the head. All right. Yeah, I tell you, folks, this is going to be unbelievable. The things that are going to happen. The mountains that are going to move into the sea. All the things that are going to happen physically to this world. And yet, the Scripture tells us that people will choose not to believe. I look at that, and I look at where we are today in our society, just in the time frame of where we are, and I hear over and over again that these are very times that we don't know how to make it through, and people are all struggling, and how's this going to work? And people are getting depressed, and a lot of people are even taking their own lives. You think that's bad now? Wait till these judgments come, and people don't have a hope at that point. Or they think they don't. And so they run to the government to try to help them, and they'll find no help. Folks, today we ought to be rejoicing. Even in the midst of this pandemic, we ought to be rejoicing because God is still giving us time to do what He's called us to do. He's giving people around you time to respond to the gospel. Finally, the end of those 7 years will come. And the second coming of Christ will appear. He will come. And He will come to this earth. And He will set up a 1,000-year reign here on this earth. 1,000 years of peace on earth. 1,000 years where everything is like it should be. What an amazing millennium that will be. What an amazing time here on this earth when everybody realizes what they could have had they been following Jesus all along. Had we been following Jesus all along. If this earth had been following Jesus all along. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a short period. Now, Scripture doesn't say how long that is. I don't know how long that is. Only God knows how long it is. But it's going to be long enough that He will again deceive people into following Him. Now you might think, how is that possible? After living in 1,000 years of harmony and beauty and everything is working properly and there's no issues, how could he come along and deceive? Well, the same way he did in the garden. I mean, think about it. Adam and Eve had everything they wanted. Everything they needed. They had true fellowship with God. And they would walk with Him in the cool of the day. And it was beautiful fellowship. And the deceiver comes along and says, did God really say? He'll do the same thing. And people will start to doubt. And then they'll start to believe the lies. And then they again will rise up. And there will be an army so large. I mean, think about this, folks. At the end of this 1,000-year reign, there'll be an army so large trying to march against Jesus. But that won't happen. The Battle of Armageddon will not be much of a battle from Jesus' standpoint. It will be over in a flash. And then will be the great white throne judgment. If you're saved, you'll be in attendance watching the judgment of the dead. Dead in Christ. Dead spiritually. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then we will see the city of God, the casting out of Satan and all who have followed him into eternal death and destruction in the burning pit of hell forever and ever and ever. Now, that's just a reminder of the basically the chronological aspects of Revelation. But I want to look at how it ends up. And so we're going to look at verse 20 for just a moment. And I want you to see a word of encouragement here. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. I want you to see, first of all, the substance of that. John says, come. When John is speaking, Lord Jesus, come, he's not saying, come sometime. You know, you might have somebody visit you at one point and say, come back. But you don't really mean tomorrow, because you got to spend some time getting over them being there the first time, right? But John is saying, come. Lord Jesus, come now. Lord Jesus, come right now. We can't wait. We can't see the things the way they are and not want change. And I wonder if we see the way things are right now and not desire change. Are you happy with the way the things are in this world? I'm not. People are just as mean as ever. And they're hurtful. And they're hateful. And they despise one another. And they even want to kill each other. And they march in riots. And they say, oh, and folks, this is just the beginning of the birth pains. John says, come. It's interesting that he was probably thinking, I determine, about what Jesus had told him in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, when he was speaking to his disciples. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's the word I was trying to think of a while ago. Troubling times? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Is any of this throwing Jesus off at all? No. Is any of this trying to make anybody think that God doesn't know what's going on and that he can't handle this? No. Jesus had already said, Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in what I've told you in me. My Father, in my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. But obviously he didn't tell him that. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. In other words, John is saying, come. It's time, Lord. It's time. This world needs to realize that that day is coming very soon. And Jesus is coming back. That's the substance of the word come. What is the source of that word? Jesus says, I am coming soon. Now, Jesus used that phrase multiple times in Scripture. I mean, seven different times, even in the book of John, did he go through that and says, I am the bread of life. I am the gate. Over and over and over, he used that phrase, I am. Do you remember where that phrase came from? Back in the Old Testament? In Moses and the burning bush? And Moses said, okay, I'll go, God, but if I go back and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go, who should I tell him sent me? I am. He probably, you know, just thinking in Moses' mind, he probably thought, no, I mean your name. I am. No, I realize you are, but what's your name? I am. When all of the teachers of the law confronted Jesus in John chapter 8, and they said, wait a minute. You say you knew these people in the Old Testament? You say you knew Moses? You say you knew them before they were born? What'd he say? I am. That doesn't even make grammatical sense, but it makes godly sense. I am coming soon. It's the direct promise of Jesus. By the way, and I've said this before, I want to say it again. A lot of people say, well, I can bank on the promises of God. Listen, folks, you can bank on God. Whatever He says is going to happen. It doesn't have to be in the form of a promise. When God says something, He will do it. Because He's not like us. We don't have to try to convince somebody that, oh, I promise I'll do that. It's somehow that puts a little extra weight on it. Well, God doesn't have to do that. God just says it, and then it comes to pass. I am coming soon. The direct statement, promise of Jesus. The surety. He says, yes, I am coming soon. He has the final word on the matter, by the way. He is the one that when he says it, it's already taking place. It's already set into motion. It's going to happen exactly when it's supposed to happen. It will happen because God cannot lie. What if God could lie? He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be perfect. He wouldn't be holy. God cannot lie. And so when Jesus says, I am coming. Yes, I am coming. He is stating a fact. In fact, a couple of verses, one in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly, what? Encouraged. Now, folks, I'm encouraged by the fact that when God says something, it will take place. What if we didn't know for sure if this took place? We'd have no hope. We would have no faith. We'd have no opportunity to put our trust into God because we're not quite sure. But everything that God has said He will do is and has and will take place. Everything. Not, we hope so, we got to wait and see. It will take place. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised. Are you fully persuaded that what God says, He will do? Are you? I see a lot of heads shaking up and down, but that means everything that He says. Everything. That means the commission that He has given us as believers. Now we can say, yeah, I believe I'm supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus. Do you really believe if you don't do it? Well, I believe He said it. Yeah, He said it. But He said it to us, to those who have followed Him. There is a surety about everything that God says. Yes, I am coming soon. Now, the last word He mentions is soon, the swiftness of it all. This means that when the time comes, it will happen quicker than anything else that we have ever experienced or have ever seen. Now, some people, I guess, who have no other good thing to do have tried to figure out what it means in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What does that really mean? And they come up with all these calculations of what a twinkling of an eye means and how quick that could be. And basically, they confound themselves with trying to figure out how something could happen that quick. But I'm telling you, folks, when Jesus comes, both the rapture to call us in the air, and when He comes back, it's going to happen so quickly that nobody could get ready for it. Nobody could go, oh, yeah, guess what? He's about to come there. No. It's going to be so quick, nobody around you could even realize what happened. It's just boom, gone. Jesus mentions that when He's talking to His disciples. He said, one day, there's going to be two men out working in the field, and all of a sudden, one's going to be working, and the other one's going to be gone. And there's going to be a husband and a wife laying in bed and thinking that they're there together, but in a moment they're going to be gone. It's going to happen quickly, soon, quick, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. These are words of encouragement to us, because the fact is this, folks, when God says something, it's going to happen. And that encourages me. But there are also words of endorsement here. The specific word that I talked about just a little bit ago, amen. Look at what it says. He says, he who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming soon. All right? Yes, I am coming soon. Now look at the very next word. Amen. Can you say that and really mean it? Jesus says, yes, I am coming soon. Can you say amen to that? I can say amen to that. This word means in total agreement. It means yes. Many people, when they gather together with the same faith and trust and hope in their hearts, when they gather together, there is a divine faithfulness. And when they say amen, they basically are saying, so be it. You know, when God speaks to you through His Word, when something comes alive to you, it ought to be amen. I mean, we can scream and holler and cheer when somebody scores a touchdown on TV, but when we hear something profound and prophetic, we go, oh, that's pretty good. But it just makes me want to say, amen. So be it. When God speaks, it is a fact and it is done. It is already written, by the way. It's already written. and it's already done. In God's scheme of things, all of this has already taken place because He's not fettered by time. He's already in control. He has always been in control, will always be in control. And even trying to say that, we're looking in our minds at time frame. But God is just there. He's always going to be in control. And we live in this time bubble that's going to get popped one of these days. And there will be no more time. So be it. In fact, by saying amen, you say it's already done. Even though time-wise it's not yet taken place, it's already done. Everything that God says is going to happen is already done. That's why some people really struggle with this whole issue of, well, the Lamb's Book of Life, and if God knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, hadn't He already chosen who's going to be saved and who hasn't been? No. Because we're living in the time bubble. He already knows, of course, who everyone who's going to be saved. Because He knows everything, right? But we don't know that. And everybody that's alive on this earth today does not know that. He just knows who is willing to come to a point in their life that they would trust Him rather than themselves. He knows that. No doubt about it. But He did not create people knowing that there's no way they could be saved. He created them because He loved them. And He had a plan and a purpose for their life. I believe God has a plan and a purpose for everybody's life. Will they come to that? Don't know. Will they trust Him? Don't know. That's why it's important and put upon us to give them the truth, to share with them the gospel, to encourage them along the way once they receive it, to help disciple them and draw them closer into the path that God has for their lives. But I know God doesn't desire anyone to be lost, but to all to come to repentance. Jesus died for the sins of not just a selected few. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's what Scripture tells us. Divine faithfulness, so be it. When God speaks, it's a fact and it's done. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read this whole passage that this one verse is in that I really, truly love. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that He promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, that the earth was formed out of water, and by water, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And you might say, well, wait a minute. If a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day, then it could be a long time from now. It could, but I don't believe it is, because the things that He says will take place have started to take place. But even if it's longer than I think, which is, well, obviously could happen, it's still in the process of happening. Let me just put it this way. If a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day, when Jesus left this earth to go back and prepare a place for us, He's only worked on that place a couple of days. Right? He will come and fulfill what He has said. A divine fulfillment. Amen also means literally, let it be so. You've spoken it, let it be so. Nothing can stop the act of God. God's word is now spoken. Remember the promise that we read in the beginning of this? If we read this together aloud, God will bless us. You know why He will bless us when we read this together aloud? Because we will hear His word. There won't be anybody who's just saying, no, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. If I don't know about it, then I'm not held accountable for it or what. Oh, well, wait a minute. Guess what? If you're goofy enough to jump out on a freeway and go 115 miles an hour and somebody pulls you over and says, you're going to get a ticket, right, Aubrey? So your husband does that, right? Not that I know about personal. Anyway. So he gets out and he comes up to the car and he says, may I see your license and insurance? And they give it to him. Do you know that you were exceeding the speed limit? Oh, I didn't know there was any such thing as the speed limit. Well, wait a minute. You have a driver's license here. To get a driver's license, you had to take the driving test. And in the driving test, it says there are speed limits. Well, I didn't really pay attention to any of that. Guess what? There's a speed limit here, and you've exceeded it. And now you're going to pay the penalty. There's nobody who's ever going to stand before God and go, I didn't know. Because every person knows that God is real. Even if they call themselves an atheist. Because to become an atheist, you have to determine that you choose not to believe that there's a God. What? How can you believe in something that there's not? Does that make sense? How can you believe that there's not really a God? Well, how do you even know what a God is if you choose not to believe in? You're a foolish person. Everybody knows there's a God. Let it be so. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. To the angel at the church of Philadelphia, write these things. These are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut. And what He shuts, no one can open. Listen, folks, Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that God says will happen. He is the fulfillment of the law because He was perfect in every way. He is the fulfillment of atonement because He paid for our sins upon the cross. He is the fulfillment of redemption because He redeemed us with His blood. He is the fulfillment of God's eternal life because He rose from the dead. And He is the fulfillment of God's word itself because it will take place. And I don't know how people can just not want to hear that. Like the little kid whose parents talking to him, trying to get him to understand something. He's going, la, 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 la. I'm not listening. That's what people have to do in this world. They don't want to hear. He's the divine faithful one, the divine fulfillment. He is also the divine, there is also a divine fact. Amen means it is and it shall be so. Listen, folks, Jesus is coming whether you're ready or not. As a little kid, you probably played hide and seek. Will you count to 20? You know, and different kids would count different ways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Or whatever way. Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 20. It doesn't matter how you count. The fact is, it's going to happen. Whether you're ready or not, they're going to come try looking for you. Whether you're ready or not, Jesus is coming soon. Soon. He's coming soon. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not. Listen, folks, that's fun in a game of hide and seek. It won't be fun in this world when Jesus comes again for those who do not have chosen not to trust Him. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. He's going to come. When you least expect it, He's going to come. He's coming. I want to finish up this whole study with a word of excitement. There's a word of excitement to me in this scripture about leaving. This world is not my home. The old hymn says, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not our home if we are believers, if we are Christians. I'm going to go where my Master is. I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to see Him face to face. What a day that's going to be, to see Jesus face to face. And I believe he won't look like anything you can imagine. In fact, I believe many people will be totally surprised when they see Jesus, because He's not like the pictures that you see of Him. He's not like the actors who have played Him. He's not like any of those, because those are people. But I believe even when we see Him, He will bear the scars on His body, Calvary. Why do I believe that? Because He already does. After He was risen again, what did He show them to make them trust Him? His hands and His feet. And those weren't the only two scars. Four scars, by the way. Was He beaten with a cat of nine tails? Yes. Was His beard plucked out? Yes. Was He beaten with rods by the Roman soldiers? Yes. When people take the beating that Jesus took, guess what they're going to look like? Somebody who's taken a beating. Taken a beating. That sounds really good. I'm excited about leaving. But I can't get so excited that I forget that God's allowing me to be here for a reason. Some people, someone once said, are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly good. In other words, that's all they think about is, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. What about here? God has given us a commission. He's given us a job. We are His ambassadors. About looking. You know what? Scripture reminds us, especially in Revelation, of the glories of heaven and the joy of our Savior's presence. Father, only our Father knows how awesome that is. But we will one day get to experience it. We will one day get to experience it forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, what no ears heard, and what no human mind can even conceive, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. I was talking to somebody, I was talking to my daughter yesterday, because she was asking me some about this very thing. And we were talking about it. I was driving, and I was on hands-free, by the way. And she said, do you think it's going to be soon? And I said, yeah, I do. I think it's going to be soon. I said, there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they don't want it to be so soon, because there's a lot of things in this world they still want to see or accomplish or whatever else. And my statement to that is this. Listen, do you think there's anything that this world could give you that would be better than what you're going to get when you get to heaven? Folks, to be in His presence is going to be the best thing ever. Forever. I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm excited about the Lord Himself. The scripture here says, even so, Lord, come soon. The word Lord means ruler of my heart. You see, if He's not ruler of your heart, He can't be ruler of your mind. He can't be ruler of your mouth. He can't be ruler of your actions unless He's ruler of your heart. Have you given Him your heart? What a day that's going to be. Even so, Lord, come soon. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. By the way, Job is one of the oldest books in the whole Bible. Look at what he says. Even from back when Job was on the earth. And I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end, He will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed in my flesh, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see Him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Folks, God's Word is always going to come to pass. And so I want to read these last two verses one more time. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that You love us like that. That You are speaking Your Word to us even today. Lord, there's so many people around us that are so filled up with themselves and they can't see and understand what You're doing. It doesn't make sense to them. They don't understand that You love them so much. And Father, I honestly believe one of the reasons that You put it on my heart this year to every single morning begin by a thought of how much You really love us. Lord, You love us so much. We can't even comprehend that kind of love, but You love us so much that You don't want us to be separated forever. You don't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. You love Your creation. But Lord, You've given us a choice. We can either choose to follow You, trust You, believe that Jesus did what He said He would do. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. He rose from the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's ever making intercession for us. We have to choose to believe that. We have to choose to step out by faith and trust You to forgive us and to cleanse us and make us a new person. And once we do that, the Scripture says that we are now Your children. And You will never cast Your children out. In fact, the Scripture says we are in the palm of Your hand and no one can take us out. Our names are even written in Your hand. That's how much You love Your children. Lord, I pray right now for two things. The two most important things that I can think of to pray for. The first is this. For anyone, whether they're here in this building, they're listening online, they're listening to it at a later point, on YouTube or on Facebook or wherever it is, they're listening to this and they hear these truths that have come straight from Your Word, not from the mouth of a preacher. They've come straight from Your Word. I didn't make these up. You spoke these things. Lord, I pray that if they've heard these words, Your Word, and they have not trusted You, that today will be the day. On this very day, they will trust in You. They will give you their life. They'll not only believe who you are, they'll believe what you've said and what is to come. And they will trust Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to come into their life and make them a brand new person right now. Lord, I also pray the second thing, that all of us that do know You, who have already trusted You, who have tasted of the good gift that You've given us, would not withhold it from the people around us, but we would freely give, just as You freely gave to us. Your great love. Your great forgiveness. Lord, that's what the book of Revelation really is all about. It's not just trying to tell this world that the end is going to come and it's going to be a bad 7 years and there's not going to be many people that make it through it. And that's not what the book of Revelation is about at all. The book of Revelation is revealing how much You love us and how much You want us to be saved and how much You desire for us to come to You. But there will be a day, there will be a moment, there will be a time when the word is spoken, amen, and it's over. It's done. It's finished. And nothing can change it. That day is coming very soon. Will you be ready? Father, I pray, Lord, for anyone who's listening today, if they're not ready, they'd get ready right now. By trusting You as their Savior and Lord. Praying a prayer something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize You're coming soon. I realize You're the truth, the way, the life, and that no one is coming to the Father except through You. And so, Lord, today I give You my life. I want to come straight to the cross and thank You for the forgiveness that I receive by Your blood that was shed for me. And I thank You, Lord, that not only did You die for me, You are now living for me because You rose again. And You are ever praying for me, interceding for me. Every time I make a mistake, You're saying before the Father, it's covered. Every time I choose to do something wrong, You're saying before the Father, it's covered. I took care of it. Lord, please forgive me today. I give You my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.